Ramble.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. We have a very exciting guest today, Kaylin.
Hey. Yeah.
Morning, guys.
Hello. Can I get an ow ow?
Tell us a little bit about your role here at Try Guys, and we're really excited to introduce you to her.
Yeah, so I'm the content strategist for the Try Guys. So what that entails is doing like all of our kind of social media stuff, working across all of our platforms, and then also doing our merch and like product marketing and stuff. So it's lots of social marketing things.
It's a lot.
A big job.
It's pretty busy.
Yeah. When I think about that, you think it's just one social platform, but you oversee.
Yeah, so we have seven, I think.
Seven.
Holy, yeah. I didn't even know there were seven.
I think, sometimes I forget, it's either six or seven, but it's YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, TikTok. And I'm probably forgetting something, but that's like the main stuff.
Yeah. How do you keep track of it all?
You know, it's lots of kind of just planning on. We use like a program called Asana. It's like project, project management kind of stuff. And so we just hired on a social intern. So I've been like working with her.
Ooh,
and that's been really exciting. So doing a lot of like more kind of like assigning stuff out. And like doing true content kind of calendar planning, which is fun because normally it's like kind of we're just like going, getting stuff out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a lot of like kind of project management planning on calendar tracking and lots of sheets, lots of very fun data stuff.
So sexy.
Yes.
So many spreadsheets.
I know. I think people think it's like social's like so fun and stuff, but I'm like a lot of time I'm just doing like a lot of Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah,
aren't we all?
Emily in Paris really kind of made the whole social like strategist thing.
Don't even get me started.
Wait, so
on that.
Go
you.
Off,
you're
girl.
Basically
no.
Emily, right?
No.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Didn't she only have like 700 followers when she like first
so
began?
Unrealistic.
I forgot. Like I
so
saw
so unrealistic. I was so annoyed and like the way that they like showed it happening. I was like, and there was also so many missed opportunities with the show to like actually have like real world like integration for social media. I was like, you guys really missed the mark here. Like,
and that was the only thing they got wrong.
No, there's so many, but it was like oh, like if she's like a social person, they could have had like a whole social like calendar going along with the actual count in real life too at the same time, like right. It was like there's, you know, we could have done some there's so many things.
Yeah,
there's
it
so
should
many
have been things. Kaylin in Paris.
I was like
Kaylin.
I was like
Kaylin Ray in Paris.
I like also gave a bad name to like social people too. I'm like, this is not just it's not all fun and games, guys.
This is not how we do it.
It is serious business.
You don't just sign in to the company's Instagram account and then start taking photos of yourself drinking champagne.
Here we are. I just know this one's it. This is the photo.
Can you imagine if Kaylin just signed into the Try Guys account and uploaded photos of herself drinking champagne?
That is one of my biggest fears, is like accidentally like posting, because I do have like the accounts on my phone and stuff, or like when we're, you know, if weekend work comes
you
up and stuff.
You accidentally post a thirst trap to the
Try
Guys account.
Oh my god. It's one of my biggest fears. Sometimes I'll like delete the account from my phone so I don't accidentally do anything.
Like, you're like, it's Friday, delete.
In like pre-pandemic times, if I was like going out or something, absolutely deleting the account. Like, don't even want to have it accessible.
It's so easy to switch. It's just a double tap.
Luckily, I think if that ever did happen, it'd be pretty easy to explain. I would just be like,
I'm so sorry.
Hey guys, it's Kaylin, my bad.
But we could never go back.
No.
We could never go back.
No, definitely not.
Incredible.
It's been a lot of fun stuff, like getting to work on new projects. And like, we have a lot going on right now, which is cool. So, I mean, I can't like talk about some of the things that we have coming up, but some very fun product stuff coming up this year, which is going to be cool.
Ooh, tell us a little bit about how you grew into the field. Like, did you go to college specifically to become
So I'll
work in social media?
The backstory of my journey, I guess. So I actually started in journalism, and I think that's like kind of how a lot of most people that get into like social either start in like journalism or marketing, and it kind of like you end up there in a weird way, because it's like kind of a still like a new career path.
For sure.
Do they teach it in schools now?
Yeah. So I was kind of like in the first wave of them actually like developing programs for it. So I started in journalism, went to school, really thought I was going to be a journalist, and quickly realized that that is not what I wanted to do.
Becky did that.
I was like, I do not want to work in Omaha.
I still write. Yeah, that was the big thing. It was like, I still write. I love writing. And like, that's like what I wanted to do. But the field just like is still a little backwards and like, I don't know. So I just
but looking at the two of you sitting side by side, I could see it. The 9 o'clock news.
Yeah. Okay. You guys would slap in
with
Omaha.
Kaylin Ray and Becky Ray.
Oh, yeah, we have the same middle name.
Oh my
did
God,
you
yes,
know?
Cute. I think we did talk about this one time. But yeah, so I started in journalism and basically ended up kind of doing broadcast, like wasn't for me. And then found my way to like digital marketing stuff, and they started this kind of course for digital media studies specifically. And so I minored in that. It was like a kind of minor track. It wasn't like a true minor, but like they offered classes and like got kind of a start in learning like minor data science stuff, data analytics, network analysis, like things like that. And so it was like one of the first schools to start really offering programs for that, which was cool. So I did that and then ended up interning and working in the music space for a really long time.
Did not know. That's all really interesting, because your data analytics are so thoughtful and broken down into such a way that everyone can understand them really clearly and easily, and it helps us see what's working and what's not. And I've always wondered if that's just a skill you developed in your professional life, or if you actually learned that in school, because it's very, it seems like it's intuitive to you, but it's like a hard-earned skill.
Do you want to explain what data analytics for social means for people who don't know?
Yeah, so I mean, like a lot of people probably have seen it. Like it's like in that little insights tab, like on your platforms. Like if you're on Instagram, like you can, if you have like a business profile, you can, everyone can look at their own analytics and like, and deduce what they can from that. But on some of our bigger platforms, it's a little more advanced. Like, so on YouTube, like we look at that as like more of a consumption platform versus like a social platform. And so we look at things like watch time and kind of total view duration, click-through rate, like all these things that kind of inform how our content's performing within the platform space. So a lot of what I do is actually kind of like looking at like when we release a video, how it did, who's watching it, how long they're watching it for. Can we get that video to do better next time by extending like this moment longer, cutting this moment shorter? So like I'll put together kind of like monthly reports, and sometimes they're kind of quarterly reports too, just like kind of informing how those videos are doing and like what we could do to make them better in the future. So yeah, I guess that's a light explanation of it. I don't know how much you want me to get into it, but there's lots of stuff that basically those kind of signals to a lot of those platforms. It's like basically those metrics become signals to how our content will do in the algorithm. So it's like if we have a piece of content that's doing less well in terms of total watch time, it might not surface as well within the platform space. So like we're always trying to like get those metrics to be up so that that way more people will see it, and then it will do even better too.
we use numbers to show what's connecting and what's not. And, you know, use our space to audition new formats. And sometimes they don't connect or have an audience. So then we pivot. And sometimes they do. So then we do more.
Yeah. And it's a lot of like figuring out how to make something work, too, because I think a lot of my data skills actually came from, like, I started it in college and I'm like by no means an expert. But a lot of it came from BuzzFeed because so that was like after I worked in a music space for a little bit, moved on to BuzzFeed. And that's kind of like really where my like first big girl job was and how I met you guys, you know. So so that's like kind of like where my data skills like really developed. And BuzzFeed was like very focused on data. Like that was like kind of like how they decided what content we were making and what the like the business decisions were. But I feel like it was a little too heavy data focused. Like it's like a really, you need a healthy balance between like being data informed and like letting the creative do its thing too, you know? Right. So it's like, you can't just be making things just because
It works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you have to, and you can't like stop making something just because it didn't work this one time. There might be a better way to do it, you know?
New formats almost always underperform.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to give it. It takes the audience a minute.
Yeah. You have to give it a chance to like start performing and if, you know, put more resource behind it in order for it to get to where some of our bigger series are like Without a Recipe. So that was like something we did last year was we tried Without Instructions and one of them did like okay. And so I was kind of like, we should do this again and like start like putting like more behind it. I think it could be as big as Without a Recipe. And so like we've started doing that a little bit more now.
Yeah.
And that's usually what happens is like once we start seeing it do well, we're like, okay, let's make it bigger and better.
Yeah. I mean, how much of your job would you say is like data? As opposed to, you know, because like, I think when people think like social marketing, they think, you're posting. Like, you're posting stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, but like, that's not what it is.
I'd say it's probably, it has been here probably like 35, 65. Is that math right? Yeah.
With 35% posting.
Yeah, 35 data, 65 actually getting the content out. But now that we're kind of like growing a bit more, I think I'll probably be able to focus even heavier on the data side than I have been, which will be nice because I'll be able to like really dive deep into stuff. Because like a lot of times I'll do some reporting and I don't get the opportunity to like dive as deep as I want to into it because we're moving so fast. So it's like, we gotta.
Oh, and Kaylin, you would have been so proud of us the other day. Becky and I shot a native TikTok during a video shoot. We're trying to help you out.
Yay! I love
Kaylin's been teaching us to shoot social during our shoots.
I know. Well, because I'm like, I'm missing it. Like, I can't wait till we get back to a point where we can be all together again. Because it's like, it's so hard to like get the TikToks out and stuff when this like work from home environment. Because it's like, I'll be like FaceTiming the guys. I'm like, okay, can you do this? Like, do it this way. But like, I miss being on set and just being able to like do it with everybody, you know? I don't know. It'll be fun once we're all back and we can really get going on TikTok.
Yeah. On the horizon.
Yes.
We'd be doing like little merch shoots in the living room. She's like, I should do this pose. And I was like,
I know. I'm like, I feel so bad.
No, don't feel bad.
But I can't wait till we could do that again too. Cause that was like kind of some of my favorite stuff is like planning those like big like product marketing shoots.
Let's spill some tea. Maggie made us all tea. Who of the guys is the best at modeling the merch and who needs the most help?
Oh, no. Okay.
I mean, I think we could answer this, but I want to know what you...
Yeah, I think we all know who the best
is. They all know what they're doing. It's like they think that they don't, but they all... They're like, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm like, you guys know what you're doing. Like, most of the time, I don't have to, like, tell them poses, but... I think in the work from home environment, they've been like struggling a little bit more with it just because it's like they're doing it by themselves and they feel awkward, which like...
They want to be told what to do. So if they do look awkward, it's because, you know,
They were told to look awkward. They want the responsibility of looking awkward themselves.
I'm so impressed that they can be funny shooting alone at home.
I am
they're
too.
They're just being funny
shocked.
Alone in a room.
Zach can talk to himself for like an hour straight. How? And I'm just like, I'll say one word to myself. I'm like... Great.
I don't know how to do it. Like I took Ned's place in the soap video the other week, and
which you did awesome.
Well, you guys, I was literally sitting there silently working for like 4 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And Ned comes in, and he's like, "What's going on?" I was like, "I'm making soap," and he's like, "Well, you know that the cameras are on, right?" And I was like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, B-roll.
Just B-roll, baby.
That's how I am. I could never be in a without a recipe series because when I'm cooking, it's like silent. Just like, don't talk to me. Like, I have five different timers. I'm like, okay, I can't enter. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, they really have to multitask with it.
They don't make great food.
True.
Touché. But let's they do honest. Make great TV, and that's what we're here for. So that's okay.
But they do make great content because somebody tells them how to do it.
True, no, true. They always know what they're doing on the merch stuff. It's like they think I think they feel awkward, but it always looks great. I don't know. Like, yeah. I will say, like, I have Eugene do like the more difficult posing. I'm always like, I'll like come in with like, okay, if I want to execute this pose, I'll be like, Eugene, can we try this? And he's like, yeah, let's go. Like, it does it in like 2 seconds. I'm like, okay, good. Moving on. But yeah, they all have like their own, like, they have like their signature poses too. Like, Zach always does the tiny shoes. Keith always has like a really big goofy smile, which is like what I always like look for from him. And then I make Ned do like the little sweet poses.
Right.
Like, yeah. They all have like their own styles that like I know going into it, like what I want the photo to look like. And I'll kind of like make my instructions based off of that.
Well, and then of course Eugene's just serving. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Speaking of the Instagram posts, you have a pretty good Instagram,
Kaylin,
yourself, ma'am.
What is the
like,
secret?
Like, every picture is beautiful
stunning.
And looks like you're
I want
in
the
a magazine.
Secret.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank
if
you,
the rest of us don't
yes.
look like you, how can we improve our poses and our grams? What is the secret sauce? And for all of you listening at home, is it to create triangles with your body? I read that somewhere.
Yeah, like lines, I guess, is a thing. I don't know. I still have a lot of friends that are photographers, and so that's kind of like
that's what models
you
say.
Need a high person.
No. Well, I started doing some like kind of side modeling stuff like in college, and like I have a lot of friends like in Arizona that still do like a lot of photography stuff, and like kind of like that's their thing. And so sometimes I'll just like get together and do shoots with them for fun, and like I don't know, it's like kind of a creative outlet for me. And like, either like they'll approach me with like an idea for a photo shoot that they really wanted to try, or I'll have like a look that I wanted to like put together. Like I always like say, like I never grew out of playing dress up. Like I just love doing different looks all the time. And so it's just a fun little outlet, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. How did Doritos come to be?
So that's like kind of one of my friends who's a photographer, like had an opportunity to shoot for Doritos. And so they he asked me to do it, and I was like in Arizona at the time because I'd spent a lot of time in Arizona during this whole pandemic thing, just like to be with my family. And so he reached out and he's like, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, obviously. I love Doritos.
It was so on brand.
Yeah. Do you get a lifetime supply of Doritos?
No, I did get a large pack, but not a lifetime supply, unfortunately.
Okay, but how big is large? Like, you got a family size or you got like a crate full?
Like a big box. Yeah, a nice box size.
For some people, that might be a lifetime supply, but none of us,
no,
I think.
No.
Yeah, my dad was really excited. He was like, because it wasn't like the normal Doritos. It was like those other, the 3D ones.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, like the purple bag.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Ooh. 3D Doritos?
They're like,
I am not up on my Doritos.
They're like, I don't know. Like, they're basically like Bugle chips. Yeah. Oh, and so like my dad's like, I want to try them.
Okay. Did you guys know that Doritos are, I read this in an article somewhere, that Doritos are scientifically designed to have like the perfect crunch for
I mean,
for
it
like,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Dorito fact.
A new segment.
Yeah, there's like, I think it's like food science. So there's food scientists, and they, you know, they create the flavors for ice creams and things like that, and all the different chemicals that go into things. But there's like food scientists that are studying potato chips.
Yeah.
And Doritos particularly have the perfect crunch to keep you eating more.
Oh. That makes sense because I do think it's the texture and the crunch.
It's the texture.
It's not the flavor.
It's the texture.
I mean, the flavor is important.
I mean, I love the flavor.
Yeah, I mean, I love the flavor too. Okay, though, like Cool Ranch or...
Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch.
Sure.
Nacho cheese.
Wait, sometimes I'll get a hankering for nacho cheese over Cool Ranch, though. You know, yeah. I don't know. I'm just like ranch is like one of my passions.
It's like the perfect amount of salt, too.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah, I love salt.
All those little colors ranch. In there.
This is very not sponsored. We just really, actually love Doritos.
Get at us.
They did not pay me enough for this. So we have to move on.
One box.
but just one more note about Doritos. Yeah. I feel like it's a seasonal thing where like I like the nacho cheese in the summertime and I like ranch.
Oh,
ranch
okay.
Anybody feel me on that?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
You almost made me spit out my tea.
just a flat no from everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No. I personally feel like Doritos are always summertime. They're like barbecue, like cool snack
beach
food. I can't imagine eating them by a cozy fire, reading a book, drinking hot cocoa. You know?
Yeah. Kaylin, that's your next shoot idea. Okay. You need to have like a big like faux fur outfit.
Yeah.
And just like by a fireplace.
Ooh,
eating the
Mark
Doritos.
And Doritos as a wintertime snack.
I'm just a chip gal now. That's my new brand.
Chip gal. That is a great brand. I mean,
not a bad one to have.
Yeah. Not to keep coming back to the data. Let's keep talking about it. But is there any specific data that you found while here that you got you really excited?
Yes, I love. Okay, so like about the data stuff.
What's
too.
What's the best
I'm
data?
Like, sometimes I get really nerdy about it. I get really excited when I'm making these reports because I'm like, oh my god, I just found this gold.
Do you include like graphs and
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see these
graphs.
Yeah, I'll send one to you.
Color coded.
Yeah, I color code everything. I make different sections for different platforms. It's very fun.
Wow. We like it. It's aesthetically pleasing.
I have a lot of fun with my data reports. Yes. But there was one of the first ones that I was like got really excited about for like data reporting here was the 4-1 chess video. Because that was like a perfect example of like letting the content find its like audience kind of thing. Because we kind of started that concept, like the guys were really excited about that concept because it was different from the normal stuff we were doing. Like we do a lot of food content right now. We're like looking for other formats for like that weren't just food based shows and stuff.
Right.
And
it's basically a traditional try, just
a little more gamified.
Gamified.
And they're working together.
And so, and it was like cool to like see it be like more niche topics too. And so we tried the 4-1 chess video and it initially wasn't doing very well. And we were kind of like disappointed. Like we'll see like kind of results within by like 24 hours. We'll know like how the video is like surfacing usually. But for this one, so it wasn't doing very well. And we were like, oh, like, well, let's think about ways we can like give it some more promo and stuff. And it was just like not really picking up. And then like a week later, it like ended up in this like chess community. Like
that's the dream.
Forum. And so
it's
so, like
find your people.
Yes.
Find
and so
your
the
audience.
Video like found its own audience. And that doesn't happen all the time. And so it was really exciting to see it go from like it jumped from most of our videos will hit like 1 million within a week at the very least. But it really wasn't picking up until like a week later. And then all of a sudden it like took off and it was like getting to like 3 to 4 million after like a week.
Big
and we were like
chess players.
Yes. And so it was like really interesting. I noticed it because we started seeing we normally don't focus on shares that much on YouTube because it's not like a huge like behavior for like YouTube consumption. It's not like we'll focus on shares for Instagram and Facebook because that's like a behavior that you do. Like you share the content with your friends. Mm-hmm. But on YouTube, you're usually just watching. Mm-hmm. But on this video, the shares were super high. And I was like, where is this being shared? And so I was like, what
you
is happening?
Some sleuthing.
Yeah. So I literally did some sleuthing and I figured out that it was like being shared with like the chess community because like the chess community was kind of like up in arms. They're like, in a good way though. In a good way, they were like, how did they do that? Like kind of thing. And so it was like, it was cool to see that format reach a different audience outside of just the Try Guys audience, and like really find its own life. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been a trend for the other 4-1s too, which is really nice because we've been focusing on kind of like more niche topics that like aren't necessarily super relatable in the sense that like not everybody's playing chess, but it's like interesting for like somebody that doesn't play chess to like watch and like see who's going to win. And then it's interesting for people that are really passionate about chess to like see four guys like kind of like fumbling their way through this like thing with a pro expert. I don't know. So that one was really cool because I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I was like,
was it in like a Reddit thread full of chess?
So it was getting shared on WhatsApp a lot, which was crazy.
Yeah, that was international.
Yeah. So that was like, it was kind of like getting shared to an international audience, and it ended up popping up on like chess forums and stuff. And like, I could tell from some of like the engagement too, that it was like a lot of like true chess players just like on in the, within diving deep into the comments and stuff. And I was like, where's like, who is sharing this?
When they did rook to
and this was all pre Queen's Gambit.
That's
too.
What I was gonna ask.
It wasn't even when chess was popular.
Okay, but what I was gonna say is Devlin took a lot of care when editing it to make sure that the video would be interesting to those who don't know how to play chess, but would hit all the points and follow the gameplay to those who do play chess so that it could resonate with both audiences, because we obviously can't just show the games straightforwardly. They shot for like 5 hours.
Yes, exactly.
So Devlin really took the time to make sure it would speak to both communities.
Yes.
Which I think was a hard won feat.
Yeah, and it's like, it's been such a fun format. Like, I'm excited to see what other ones we do, because like everything we've done, we did poker, puzzles, and they're all kind of like these things that like aren't necessarily, not everybody's doing them, but it has a really strong community behind it that you wouldn't think about originally. So it's like, it's cool to see.
I'm sorry, who found a puzzle expert?
I think probably Jonathan. Jonathan like finds all of our experts.
Is great at expert research.
Yeah.
He is really wonderful. You send him on a mission, he comes back with a list. They're pretty much all game to do it. You reach out to your favorite one, he passes them off. He's terrific at it.
Don't they have like speed puzzlers on YouTube?
Yeah.
And they'll do it with the timer. Is that what she did too?
All these things that are like, they're kind of niche, but like they have a really strong community behind it. And so I'm excited to see what else we can do. I really want them to do the marble racing eventually too.
Ooh. Oh, that's so like marble. Funny.
Build your own marble. Oh, and there's like so into that.
Those videos are so popular on YouTube. And you're like, it's like so crazy to see. It's
mesmerizing.
Like, it's like a mix of like a very specific skill and
a specific,
it's
like
almost ASMR, like oddly satisfying kind of
content.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do that one eventually.
Yes, that'd be fun. Should.
What other ideas do you have?
Let's brainstorm. A little quick brainstorm.
What are your like bucket list try guys?
Okay, my dream video is for the guys to do a cheerleading video.
We're gonna do that.
Did you do cheerleading?
Yeah. So I grew up playing a lot of sports, and like I'm excited for like post pandemic if we can get back to like doing like some bigger videos and stuff too. Just
cheerleading
in general.
Is just not a pandemic video. Not. We want to be hands on.
Throwing people into the air.
Oh my goodness!
None of the guys can get thrown into the air because Zach can't get caught, and the rest of them are too big.
I know. I told Zach I'd take his spot.
Ned can be very compact, but I feel like.
I bet he's heavy.
Yeah, he's like muscle.
Buck-fitty.
I feel like Eugene could fly. Eugene would be a really good flyer.
Yeah.
Because he's got like a dance background. And so it's like a lot of the like kind of core.
Point your toes. Kind of,
He's got the, he's got the style down for sure.
Who's going to catch him?
I don't know. We'll figure that out. We'll have to see. But yeah, I'm excited for them to start doing more like kind of videos like that. And we'll see if that happens anytime soon, but
that's
my dream concept.
Yes.
Comment if you want to see try guys try cheerleading.
Okay, what is, because you are an athlete, you've played a lot of sports, I think you've told us that you've broken something like 8 bones.
7.
Holy moly.
Oh,
okay, what is your craziest competition or ER experience in the athletic
world? I feel really bad for my parents because the medical bills were were steep.
It's not even the medical bills. Your poor mother, I bet her heart shattered every time she heard something.
The worst one. So I've broken 7 bones.
Kaylin.
Both my ankles, one of them twice.
Oh,
my hand. My
tailbone. Your
tailbone? Your tailbone?
That one wasn't like a true break though. It was like a small fracture, but it was definitely not comfy.
Yeah.
And my hand, I actually had surgery on my hand. So there's that little plate in there.
Girlfriend.
But the worst one was my femur.
Oh my god, that is bone.
It is like they say the hardest bone in your body. It's like harder than breaking cement.
Yeah. Okay. How did you break it?
So I did cheerleading, obviously, and that's where all of these injuries came from. So that one was really fun. I was doing a backflip with a twist in it. It's called a full, if like you're familiar with the terminology. And I was training doubles. So that's like where you do two twists in the middle of a flip. Okay. So I was doing that. And I went from doing doubles back down to doing singles. And I think I was just like being a little aggressive about it, like threw it a little too hard. And so I ended up like kind of like landing weird and hyperextending my leg. So this leg hyperextended. And what happened is my knee basically popped out.
Did it come out of the skin? Did it come out of the skin?
No, no, no skin. No skin was broken. And so I tore a bunch of stuff too.
How are you still walking?
I don't know. I'm sure I'm going to have many problems as I get older, but we're not quite there yet.
Are you taking calcium chews like every day?
No, but I probably should be.
You should go ahead and start, girl.
Doing that. But yeah, so basically this bone hit this bone and somehow like because of like the velocity that I was traveling at, basically this bone cracked this one.
Oh my gosh.
So my mom was there and she saw the whole thing. And so what she said, she was like, she literally told me, she was like, it was really traumatic. It was like, so it happened and like everybody in the gym was like, just like, oh God.
Yeah,
and like my coach was on the other side of the room. He like ran across the gym. It was like so dramatic. Like they scooped me up, like got me, like took me to the ER like as quickly as possible. Cause they thought originally that I tore my ACL. It was like, that's like what it looked like for all intents and purposes.
Uh-huh. I feel like this is worse.
Yeah. Well, actually in some ways it wasn't because bone heals easier than like I've like torn a couple things and those ones like stick with you longer.
Yeah.
Bone like heals.
So
like,
did you go into surgery?
No. So we got there and did like the, I mean, like when you get injured, it's so dumb. You go to the hospital and they really can't help you. Like, it's like they do an X-ray and if it's like not.
They either confirm or deny.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And that's like, and so they couldn't really see what it was because like it was so swollen and like it didn't show up on the X-ray. And so that's why they thought it was ACL tear and not a bone break. My mom, she freaked out. So I don't know if
Of course she did.
So there's like in gymnastics gyms and like, so I was in cheer, but we could be trained at a gymnastics gym. There's like usually like two levels and it's like, there's like a viewing area for the parents. It's like very Stick It. Like if you ever seen Stick It, you know.
Very Dance Mom.
Yeah, very Dance Mom. So like she's sitting up in the viewing area, like where there's like a little glass like balcony and like looking down on like the gym floor. And she's like, as it happened, she told me this afterwards. She's like, as it happened, I thought like to myself, the quickest way to you was just like jumping off into the foam. She's like, I actually considered that because she was a cheerleader too. And she's like, I really could land this. I was like, we don't need to be her mom.
Gets a matching injury trying to save you.
Yeah,
and it's not like you fell into water. It's not like you're drowning.
Yeah, but there's like a foam pit, like a huge foam pit in this gym. And so she was like, she's like genuinely considering jumping into the foam pit, and I was like, Mom, no.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I mean, I was also a cheerleader, but it wasn't like this.
Yeah.
We were doing some little cheers and cartwheels.
Yeah. There's definitely different kinds of cheer. It's like there's like more like dance line kind of cheer, like palm line. And then there's like competitive gymnastic style, you know. And so that's like what we were doing. But so then took me to the ER, did all that. Ended up having to just like schedule an MRI. I've had a lot of MRIs and those are pretty pricey. Oh, but so did that. And then they still couldn't figure it out immediately because it was like a subchondrial fracture, which is like an internal break basically.
Yeah.
So it was
the
like,
bone is so big.
Yeah.
So like the outside still looks fine, but the inside.
Yeah. So they eventually found it. It like took a while. And it was like an internal crack, basically. And they said I got really lucky
grimacing.
Because I almost chipped the bone, and that would have meant like I had to get surgery.
Yeah,
but because it was just a, like an internal crack, they didn't do surgery and they just like let it heal on its own.
Yeah.
But I also tore my LCL, my MCL.
Oh, I've never even MCU, heard of those.
Her DSW. Yeah.
But I was really lucky that it wasn't an ACL tear.
Yeah. That's the bigger one.
That's the worst one. It's like a horrible recovery. Wow.
And then were you in a cast?
So they gave me like a metal brace, basically. Okay. Like they didn't fully cast it because of the ligamentals, like the whatever it's called, that stuff. Like they couldn't. They needed me to still like heal the other things, so they did like a metal brace thing. I don't know
how long.
So yeah, I was pretty young when this happened. It was junior high.
Oh, you baby!
Yeah, and so they wanted me to do like a wheelchair, and I was. You're like, I didn't want to do that. And
because I was like, you were like 14.
Yeah. And I'm like, that sounds horrible to say, but I was just like, can I please do crutches instead? And so I literally was on crutches for 20 weeks.
Oh, that's a long time to be on crutches.
I was jacked.
Yeah. Your arm's so strong. Like, yeah.
What I don't understand is how did you have time to break all of these bones?
And keep going.
Considering the amount of time that you were in recovery from another broken bone.
Right. You know, I had to sit out like
constantly.
Yeah. And it was like, and that was honestly the bigger like issue for me. It was like, I was like, I get so sad like having to sit out. Like it was like most of the time, like, cause I have a really high pain tolerance. And so like when I'd break these bones, I like wouldn't really cry. Like it's like, I don't know. Pain tolerance for other things is really low, but I don't know why when I break bones, I don't cry.
Both of the times I've broken both of my wrists, I didn't cry. And the first time I stuck out the rehearsal in the class for like a couple hours. And then the second time I stuck around my birthday party for a couple hours. And then finally I was like, I guess I'll go to the ER now.
It must be like an adrenaline kind of like fight or flight like response or whatever. But like, I like don't cry. I just get really pissed.
And so
I would like, it would happen and I would like just immediately start cursing. Like,
like not again.
Yeah, I was like, mother. Like, no. And so... but they would take me to the hospital and like they would like ask me all the questions, you know, like I'm sure Maggie, you know, like they're like when you check in at the ER, there's all these like checklist questions like what's your pain level at?
Zero to ten.
Yeah.
And they show you the happy face to the like really upset
and
face.
And I'd be like so calmly sitting there, I'd just be like, yeah, it's like about an 8 or a 9. And they're like, are you sure? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty positive.
They're like, man, your arm is over there. Your leg is not pointing the correct direction.
They're like, let me feed you the scale again. I was like, no, I saw it on the wall. It's an 8 or a 9. Yeah.
But do you see the frowny face? Because that's not.
Yeah, you're smiling. We're confused.
We're so confused.
Oh. Like when I did my hand, that's like what happened. I like went in. They were like, are you sure you're good? I'm like, I it's broken. Let's just get this over with.
Yeah.
My hand was probably like my last big injury, and by that time I'd been hurt so much and I like spent so much time at physical therapy that like I knew weirdly a lot about injuries that like
and
I shouldn't
know.
No
wonder you got upset.
You are
like, know what's gonna have to come.
Yeah, exactly. Like I knew the whole process. So I'd go in and like did the x-ray and like, you know, the x-ray text, like they're not really supposed to like give you a diagnosis like the doctor is or whatever, but like I'd be like, can I look at it?
And so I could read it, and then I did, I was like
oh, okay, so third metacarpal fracture, and they're like what the
how many times have you been in here?
Yeah, ma'am. That's what it was.
Wow.
But I haven't been hurt in a while. I still do whip out a backflip, but like in party settings sometimes.
Excuse me, we need to go to more parties together.
It's like my party trick and it's not a good one. I usually end up getting hurt.
Oh yeah. As long as you don't get hurt, that's pretty badass.
I remember I got hurt. I don't know if you were here. You might have been still on maternity leave.
I don't think I've been here when you've been hurt.
Yeah. It was like right when I first started. What was that injury? I twisted my ankle. Yeah, doing a backflip.
Oh my god.
I came to work and I had like a cast and a limp and
oh god.
It wasn't broken, it was just twisted, but I was like, sorry guys.
Sorry.
Me limping for a second. But my dad gets really mad at me when I still attempt the backflips.
Yeah, I am identifying with your mother in this story and I'm like, stop doing things.
Yeah, I usually do it like, it's like I test it like once a year on the beach and like just leave it at that.
Make sure she still got it.
Yeah.
I feel like we should put Wes in gymnastics because he's just this sort of child who like he will dive headfirst into a pile of pillows and he literally goes headfirst.
Oh my god,
and I'm like, oh geez, this. You need an outlet.
Like, yeah. No, that'd be so fun. And like you'd get some like body control too, you
uh-huh.
know?
Exactly,
so,
yeah. I mean, yeah. I think you'd really like
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
I mean, when did you start?
So I actually started kind of late. Like I did gymnastics and dance and cheer when I was like a kid, but I really wasn't that into it. And so my mom wasn't like forcing it. She's right. like very, like my parents were very much like you figure out what you want to do and let us know. mm-hmm. So they didn't want to force it. So I kind of like stopped for like a long time. And then when I got back into like junior high, when yeah. I was like, I want
to
do this.
It's so much harder to learn because you're
like. Yeah, so I started late, but.
You're further from the floor.
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Little
yeah.
kids, like the girls have taught themselves to do somersaults because they just stand on their heads a lot and then they just flip on over because they're so close to the floor yeah. already.
Yeah. yeah, just tumbling around.
Yeah,
tumbling
exactly. and stumbling. It's like just a mode of like travel for Aww. Them.
I used to do gymnastics when I was like really young, but then my dad like entered a master's program and he couldn't take us to the gym anymore. But I was so pissed the year that I found out that I couldn't do a cartwheel anymore.
No.
I'll like try it at the park, like during the pandemic. Uh-huh. I'm like, what's there to do? Let's go to the park. Zach, watch me do a cartwheel. Watch.
Yeah.
no. Was it good? Was it good?
Was it good?
Yeah. Hold my legs. You could try cheerleading with the guys.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. I feel like I've so lost bad. My cartwheel too. Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah, the day that I wake up and can't do a backflip will be a very sad day for me.
That's probably why you keep doing it.
I got to check once a year.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a happy day for your ankles and wrists, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
True. Well, because growing up, my mom did cheer and gymnastics and stuff, too, and she could still do backflips until...
Whoa.
I can't remember, like, what age she
was
when she
stopped.
So you were
born with it. It's genetic.
I guess. yeah. We were flipping around. But we used to, you know, like the trampoline parks?
Yes.
Like we used to, that would used to be like a family like activity like Sunday.
Oh my
like
God,
we'd
that's
just
so
go
cute.
Like jump around. And I'd be so mad at my mom because she'd be like whipping out like all of her old skills and I'm like still working on mine. And I'm like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. I can't even do mine yet.
You're better than all the kids here.
She sounds awesome.
I love my mom. She's great.
Kaylin, we are so excited that you're here, and we wanted to include you in kind of answering a audience email, if,
Ooh,
if
fun.
You so would.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you know what we call our audience?
Oh.
Is it the Cripod?
No.
I just keep hearing this joke.
The Cripod was just one more serious episode where Maggie and I cried on this couch a lot.
Okay.
So we call it.
Because I'm like, that's been the popular joke of lately.
Well, then Alexandria and YB cried on this couch like so the next week.
It is the cry couch. Yeah.
It is the cry couch.
Mm. Yeah. My eyes are watering, but it's just because I think allergies. So.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. We call them the cutie booties.
Yeah. Oh,
like you can sit
yes.
with us.
Oh my gosh. Booty. Yes. Oh yeah. I did know that. Yeah. That's so
cool. Maggie
yeah.
came up with it one day and we
yeah.
were all
yeah.
like,
we latched on.
Yeah. We need like cute little merch, like a little peach.
We need yes. like little peach
gifts
to
we
put
actually,
on our
you
stories.
Know, we should schedule a meeting about what we can do for some You Can Sit With Us merch. Why have we not done that?
Let's schedule a meeting.
Yeah. I don't know. Put it on the book.
Put it on the book.
Get on the calendar. All right. So email questions. Hey, Becky, Maggie, Ariel, Rachel, and Kaylin. I found the You Can Sit With Us podcast and I'm completely hooked. I just want to say thank you for being so genuine and real while sharing your thoughts and laughs with all of us viewers. As I'm catching up on the episodes, I will apologize if you wonderful humans have already discussed this topic, but was wondering if you could talk about making friends as an adult. Mm. I am a 25-year-old Canadian woman who moved to Vancouver 3 years ago.
I'm 25 too.
I have kind of jumped from job to job, and I met my partner out here, and he is the student at a law firm here, so he's now busy 24/7 with work. In my years in this big city, I've had a really hard time making long-lasting friends and meeting anyone who I felt like I had a real connection with other than my partner. I started a new job at a brewery during COVID with all the restrictions on group meeting. It has been very difficult to break into this core group of really wonderful, kind, friendly, and kind, friendly people. What advice do you have for a lonely girl in a big city making friends? Thank you for being my girlfriends while everyone else seems to be happy.
Aww.
Listening to your podcast is the best girl time that I've had in ages, and it has really helped me feel less lonely. Best regards. I don't know. Best regards, Sarah.
Aw, Sarah. That's the name I was thinking.
Wow.
Telepathy.
So weird.
Telepathy.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again.
There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Yeah, Caitlin, yeah, as a transplant from Arizona.
Yeah, like, I relate to this very heavily because I'm also a 25-year-old woman living in a big city. And it's not the first time I've done it either. I also, like, so when I started in music, I did a big internship in New York first. It was, like, kind of like my first job experience. And so that was, I was younger then. I was just turning 21, kind of moved to New York, like, really not knowing anybody. And definitely felt lonely at times, but I got really lucky. I did like a sublet situation, and so like made friends with my roommate, and then met through people through work, and had a few friends out there. But it definitely is like, it's so hard making friends as an adult, because normally like you have the, like before you get to your like adulthood, you have like your school friends, and that's usually like where your like core friendships develop from. And so I feel like naturally you would think that like work is like where you'll find that too. But that's not always the case, you know, because sometimes like you get along with your coworkers, but you're not necessarily doing all the same things all the time. So for me, I got lucky at BuzzFeed. I made a lot of good friends. So that was like just a good environment to start. But then you also, I don't know, I feel like I've made friends like just through friends of friends is like how it's been happening. But it's definitely been harder in the pandemic times. Like meeting new people is like so really impossible right now. So I don't know what my advice is in this pandemic world right now. It's like definitely hard. But
is there advice for a non-pandemic world that you guys think? Because maybe that's on the horizon, because it is really when you don't leave your house, that's really tough.
I guess I started doing some like kind of like workout classes and stuff with friends, and that was fun. So I, like, because I mean, I used to do so many sports and stuff, and then it's been like hard to like figure out like how to do that in my adult life. And so I started going to a dance class with one friend who moved out here. A lot of my friends, like, kind of like, I'm from Arizona, so we moved. A lot of people move from Arizona to California, so it's like a kind of nice community that way, like kind of meeting people through that. But one of my friends, we started going to dance classes just for fun, and you definitely like meet a lot of people in like those kinds of settings too. If it's a nice kind of open, friendly environment, you know, it's like easy to meet people that way, I think. But yeah, I guess like just through the friend of the friend, you know. Get out there and maybe try some like new hobbies or activities.
Shared
like,
interests. Yeah, and
shared
classes.
Interests is like, I guess, the best way to do it as an adult, because you're not always going to find it at work. You know, like you could get really lucky and like be, have like the best kind of coworker situation. Like I've definitely had that. So I'm lucky to have that. Like I'm even like starting here, meeting like me and Alex definitely hit it off, and YB and like in the pre-pandemic times we're hanging out. And so I've gotten lucky with my work situations, always meeting friends that way. But I think that if it's not working out that way, you have to like go out of your way to find new communities that like will serve you well, especially like at this age. It's kind of a weird selfish age, I guess, where you're still figuring out yourself, you know.
So, and it's important to cultivate your friendships, because like your partner can only satisfy, like they can't so be much. Your end all be all.
You can't be like codependent on people. You can't have one person be your everything, you know. You need to have things that are just for you, and you know, find other people to have like to share those other interests with and stuff too. So,
and if you can find like a shared interest class or activity, like a book club or a wine tasting in your neighborhood, so that you overlap, or go to the dog park if you have a dog in your neighborhood.
Actually, the dog park. I've met a lot of people at the dog
too.
Park, actually. And it's,
I know
it's
you have
so
to have
nice.
A dog, but like I once lived
sometimes
in Atlanta.
Before I had Bowie, I definitely would just there was a park.
My friend does that. I'm not kidding. My friend does that. She just goes to the dog park.
I used to do that.
And watches.
I just imagining what the other dog owners are like thinking when you walk away without
like,
a dog.
Well, I think
they're over there.
I think sometimes, you're like, you're just like, you just don't
they're
ask.
Running.
Yeah.
Rufus,
you can get away
come
with
here. Yeah. Oh, he never listens.
Where is my dog?
Or go with your friend who has a dog.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
if
yeah,
you don't
yeah,
have
yeah.
a dog, just be like, tag along. And so that's what my friend does. Like, when I go to the dog park, she'll come with me, but then she just started going by herself. And I was like, have fun.
Oh, my God.
I did not know you had a dog.
Yeah. His name's Charles. He's a little, he's a cute little guy. He's a
cutie.
I like him.
Yeah, I got him from rescue pound situation. Mm-hmm.
And you once had two dogs named Charles in your apartment?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. So we got, me and my friend got the dogs together. And so we named them both Charles. One's Charles Wallace and one's Charles Xavier. We ended up calling him like X Xavier, but then it just got too confusing. Charles. So he switched it to Squirrel. So that's
okay.
So now it's Squirrel.
The logical
and Charles.
Squirrel and Charles.
You can see how the progression makes sense.
Yes. You don't even have to explain it.
No.
X to Squirrel.
I guess find a dog park.
I mean, if you don't have a dog, but a book club, a wine tasting, coffee cupping.
You know, and stick to your plans.
Coffee cupping's fun.
Yes. What if you make plans with someone? Stick to them.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the biggest advice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes
it's hiking club
also
too,
hard to be the person like doing the outreach too. Like I know I like get into like slumps sometimes where I'm like, I don't want to be the one like leading the plans all the time or something, you know? So it's hard sometimes to be like to go out of your way to like make plans with new people, but it's like sometimes you just have to commit to it. It's like it'll be a little emotionally taxing, but it'll be worth it in the end, you know?
Yeah.
And also if you feel a spark with someone, you know, like even if it's going to be kind of difficult to get together with that person, like follow through.
Yeah. The follow through, especially in a big city, because I feel like it's so hard to like the LA thing is like, you meet somebody, you're like, let's grab coffee sometime. And like 2 years later.
Yeah. You see them again, you're like, oh, fuck.
LA is a very flighty place.
Yeah. And I'm like I'm wondering if, did she say Vancouver or Toronto?
I think Vancouver.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm wondering like that. Those are both, are both really big cities too. Yeah. It's like probably similar, hard to make plans and get around. You know, it's like so fast paced and everyone's got their own little lives going on. So it's like hard to like find time to get together. But definitely commit and make it happen.
You can do it.
You know, and sometimes it's not always going to work out. Sometimes you'll meet somebody and like, it'll be a quick little friendship and maybe it's not like a long-term thing, but you won't know until you try.
Yeah. But I mean, truly put yourself out there because there's nobody out there who is like, I don't need more friends.
Yes.
new friends.
And if they are saying that, that's mean.
You don't want to be friends with that person.
Yeah, I don't that person. Get that. Yeah, I'm always saying like, and I got lucky too. I have a really good group of people around me that like we literally are like slogan is like, I would rather make a friend than an enemy. I don't understand how people are like,
so cute.
I don't know. Like, because sometimes you meet people and like people are still mean sometimes. I'm like, didn't we get over this in like high school? I'm like, let's all be nice to each other. And you know, like you don't have to be best friends, but you know, at least like be kind and you know,
we're adults.
Yeah, see where it goes.
Be kind and see where it goes.
Yeah.
That should be our motto.
Be kind, see where it goes.
So yeah, wish you luck. Hopefully get you some good friends out there.
And speaking of our friends, we wanted to shout out a very special episode of the Tripod last week.
Yes.
Yeah, Eugene hosted a panel of the Asian American women who work in our company, plus one of his friends, Kathleen, who produced his I'm Gay video. And I don't know if you guys have watched it, but it's really special. They speak very candidly about the recent Atlanta attacks. And they worked on our AAPI doc that came out last 2 weeks ago at this point. And it's just it's a very special episode of the Cripod.
Yeah.
I'd say definitely share with like your friends and family, because I know my mom texted me about it and was like, I had not heard of some of the things that they were saying before. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't. It was just sort of more new information, I think, for our parents' generation especially.
So
I said, yeah, share it with grandma. Share it with, you know, your friends.
Yeah, please get the project out there. Because it's, like, one of those things that I feel like it's unfortunate that it's not getting the kind of media coverage it should be getting. And that's, like, why I think Eugene wanted to do this this big project. And it's so important. And it's, like, we're trying to get it in front of as many people as possible so that, you know, it can have a real impact.
And of course, it'll spread amongst the audience. But I think the more powerful conversations are the ones that when they're sharing it with their family members.
And I think that's something that we see a lot with, like, our audience in general, because, like, we're lucky to have such, like, a positive, nice community. And sometimes when we do stuff like this, we're like, okay, we got to get it to, like, we're all on the same page about these things. Yeah. We got to get it to the people that, like, need to hear the message, you know?
Because it's a lot of information, and like information is power. And I didn't even know about the atrocities that happened in history that Eugene covered in the documentary.
Oh, me either. I'd never heard about any of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good
And I feel like if you had, it was like things that were just like kind of glossed over in history class, you know?
You kind of heard about Rodney King, at least in the Midwest. You're like kind of learned about it, but...
And the Japanese internment camps, like all of
that. Well, that one we did learn. There's some book that you have to read in elementary school that's about that.
Zach and I had, like, I did. Which is like, I think it's just depend on your history book and like who your history teacher is.
Like what kind of, like what class you're in, you
also,
know?
Also state by state.
Yeah.
State by state. Texas. All these things. So
yeah, they should be showing it in schools.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that documentary should go. If you're a teacher and you can show it to your students, if it doesn't break some sort of teacher law, show it to your students.
Yeah.
Hopefully just like more extra credit on education. Mm-hmm.
Extra credit.
Too, you know?
Yeah. That's great.
Yep. And if you want to listen to the tripod, hearing, you know, Aiko and YB and Alexandria and Kathleen like speak from first person experience reacting to the Atlanta attack was just very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also able to donate right through the video. So you can just hit the donate link that's on the tripod episode and it's on the doc. It goes right to the GoFundMe for the AAPI community.
Yeah. And any little thing you can afford is helpful.
Yeah.
Well, Kaylin, we want to thank you so much again for coming down and sitting with us and sharing all your knowledge and all the hard work that you do for Second Try.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This has been very fun. Yeah. It's nice to see your beautiful faces.
I know. In person.
Where can people find you online, Kaylin?
So on Instagram, I'm at Kaylin Ray with two N's, K-A-Y-L-I-N-N, Ray,
R-A-E. R-A-E.
So you'll find me there. And you know, you'll see me in some Try Guys videos eventually, I think.
Yeah.
If we get back to real world.
Wait for that cheerleading video, guys.
Hashtag Try Guys, Try Cheerleading.
Hashtag can you bring your mom in to watch from the sidelines?
Oh, I know. My mom would love that.
I want a mom cam while Kaylin does back.
She's just gonna be like, oh my god, not again.
I'm never going like the sight of like imagining your mom jumping into a foam pod.
She's a cute little thing.
I think I can stick the landing.
Yeah, she's a cute little lady.
About to break some bones.
Thanks, Kaylin.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.